All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, it's good to see everyone. We missed you guys. And thank you for allowing us to go on a little vacation. We had a great time. We had spent some quality time with our son and daughter-in-law. And we had a blast. It was very relaxing. I had a chance to read a little book on our little cruise. And I normally don't do that, but I took a little book with me. I needed it. So it was good. Enjoyed my time. Good to see your visitors. Is it Franklin, right? Yep, good to see you, sir. And the Millers coming back. And not Millers. I was thinking about Lynn. I was thinking about Lynn's conversation meeting the Millers at your farm. Sorry about that. So good to have everybody here this morning. This morning we're going to be in John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. In the New King James Version. You're welcome. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for a little break and being able to rest. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for our church family. And Lord, thank you for just being able to live in America where we can freely come and worship you and gather and together and study your word and not have to worry about any craziness that comes along with living in these foreign countries. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection. I ask you to help me this morning. You put this in my heart. You burned this in my heart, really, and I just ask that you to help me this morning. Holy Spirit, you'll help me say it the right way and say it your way. And you'll guide me, lead me. Bless this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord put this on my heart in the cruise. And I didn't have anything to study with. And Lynn said that was a good thing. So I've been starting on this for a while. And I really want this to bless you. It blessed me. And I know this might sound kind of weird. But I think this is one of the most important messages that I've preached. So I think God's got something for us this morning. So John chapter 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, on Billy Graham's tomb, it reads, Billy Graham, November 7th, 1918, to February 21st, 2018. And below that, in all caps, it reads, Preacher of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And underneath that, as one scripture, John 14, 6. Now, he could have used any one of the 31,102 verses in the New King James Version. 31,102 verses. He could have used any one of those to put on his tomb. Now, I would have thought that he would have put what? John 3:16. But he didn't. And I believe that Billy Graham knew what was going on in the world and what is getting stronger in the world. The Bible calls it the spirit of the Antichrist. 1 John 4, 2 and 3, let me read. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. This morning, I want us to take a little closer look at this verse. And we all know that Jesus talks in stories and parables, and he asks a lot of questions. But in this verse, he was very specific. One of the wisdom, I call them the wisdom concepts that I teach my clients at Penfield, is this. Forewarned is forearmed. Forewarned is forearmed. In other words, if we're warned ahead of time, we can prepare ourselves and arm ourselves for what is ahead for us. Jesus is warning us ahead of time so that we can arm ourselves for what is about to happen on the earth. The spirit of the Antichrist, as the Bible says, is actively involved on the earth today, working his deception and broadcasting his lies. Do you guys see it? Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. And when he talks about I am, in the Greek, it's a very intensive way of referring to oneself. It would be comparable to saying like, I, myself, and only I am. It's referring to the old Hebrew word Yahweh, which means to be, to the self-existing one, the great I am that I am, right? That's what Yahweh means. It is the name of ultimate power and authority. And Jesus claimed it as his own. He also said the way. And Jesus used this term to distinguish himself as the only way. Everybody say, only way. The only way. You see, a way is a path or a route. A route. It's according to where you're from, right? Route. And the disciples, when Jesus was telling them, they were a little confused. They were like, well, we want to know where you're going. Or how do we follow you? They were a little confused up there. And Jesus just simply told them again, like he's telling us, follow him. Follow him. This morning, I'm here to proclaim that there is no other path. There is no other route to heaven. No other way to the Father. Now, Peter reminded the rulers in Jerusalem years later when he was talking about Jesus in Acts 4:12. He said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Listen closely. The exclusive nature of the only path to salvation is expressed in Jesus' words when he says, I am the way. Now, here in these end times, I don't know if it's any different now, but I kind of think it is. But in these end times now, if you find yourself mingling in a group of intellectuals or powerful people or socialites or butterflies, and you mention out loud that Jesus is the only way to heaven, they will ridicule you. They will shun you. They will tell you how wrong and how bad of a person you are for believing that way. Does anybody know what I mean? Especially in the larger cities, and you get out in the what they call the cultured world. You can't mention that Jesus is the only way. They'll make you feel like you're really wrong and bad, and you're a bad person. How could you believe that? They don't even make sense. That's what they'll say. And if you're not careful, they'll cause you to start doubting your own beliefs about Christ. And that spirit of deception can cause you to slide into confusion. And we all know, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. You see, the spirit of the Antichrist even uses religion to spread its lies. Now, if I offend anybody here, I apologize, but you'll be okay. Just keep coming back. Is that all right? The Jehovah Witnesses believe they are the only way to God. The Mormons believe they have the only way. The Muslims believe that they have the only way. Even some of the Protestant churches in America believe that they have the only way to God. Now, the universalists believe that all human beings are going to heaven because we're all basically good and God loves us all. And that's real sweet, isn't it? That sounds real sweet. And the tender-hearted, sweet folks out there just gobble that right up. Most of the Eastern religions believe in reincarnation, or either if we're good enough, we'll end up in some kind of eternal place, being able to spend time with at least one or two or three or four or five or six of those thousands of gods that they've made up. Pantheism and humanism believe we either don't need a God or that we are God. And our good old secular scientists keep telling us there is no God. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves." Jesus clearly said He is the only way to the Father, the only way to heaven, the only way to eternal life. John 10:7-9, and then I'm going to bounce into 27:31. So if you're taking notes, John 10:7-9, and then I'll bounce into 27:31. Please let me read it and listen closely. Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door to the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." He said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." That's precious to me right there. Jesus knows you. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." That's what Christ said. "And they will never perish." Everybody say, never perish.
Never perish.
One more time. "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And He glues it in right here, and He says, "And I and the Father are one." Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus also went on to say, He is the truth. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and life." He said, "I am the truth." Now, the world, when I say world, I'm talking about the spirit of the Antichrist, right? So the world teaches, listen closely, teaches this: the truth is up to each person to find within themselves. And it's based on each person's morals and values and experiences and cultures. That all sounds sweet. Don't bite that worm. The spirit of the Antichrist is spreading a worldwide lie right now, and it is going viral. This is what it's telling people all over the world, that the universe is a guiding light and a spiritual force, and we should speak to it, pray to it, and trust the universe to give us what we need or desire. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Don't believe it. Now let me stomp on a few toes here. Oprah, you know what I'm talking about? Oprah is one of the biggest promoters of this lie going on in the world right now. She loved bringing on her TV show the latest spiritual gurus, teaching this false doctrine and promoting their books and seminars. She now has her own TV network and invites these false teachers on her new show that she completely controls. Millions of her worldwide followers are eating it up. Now, most of you probably know, but Oprah grew up in a Baptist church. Her grandmother took her to church and taught her to read using the Bible. Oprah was even nicknamed by her classmates as the preacher because of all the Bible verses that she could quote. This reminds me straight up out of 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. And let me read. Just stay with me. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Listen closely. The Holy Spirit tells us in plain words that in the last days, some people will turn away from the faith. They will listen to what is said about spirits and follow the teachings of demons. Those who teach this tell it as the truth when they know it is a lie. And listen to this last verse. They do it so much that their own hearts no longer say it is wrong. I work with pathological liars in my counseling. And I can tell you, a pathological liar can get to the point where they believe their own lie. They can believe their own lie so passionately that they get frustrated and mad. What? Because they know deep down. And deep down, they've tricked themselves into believing the lie. And they believe their own lies. The world tells us there is no truth. They say a person should have the freedom to choose what truth means to them. And that's a lie. The Antichrist whispers to those who have ears that want to hear. He'll say something like this. You should have the right to follow your heart's desire. If it feels good, do it. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 speaks into this. 2 Timothy 3 and 4. Listen closely. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The world offers falsehood and lies and deceit and doubt and confusion and chaos, which leads to worry and fear and hopelessness. Everybody listen? Jesus offers truth. Period. Truth. Which leads to peace and hope and freedom. John 8:31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you want to know the truth about life, about living in abundance, about living free, then study your Bible. If you're not saved, give your life to Christ and then study your Bible. Stop listening to false doctrines of the devil and learn what and who the truth of life is. We all know the verse, John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing, anything made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Stay focused, my friends. Stay focused and study in your Bible. And placing our foundational belief system in following Jesus. Now the third and final thing. Jesus also said, He is the life. He He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said he is also the life. The world, here we go again, the spirit of the Antichrist, the world constantly tells us we need more stuff in order to live the good life. We need to be someone important. We need the right cars and the right houses and the right clothes and the right positions to be significant. How many guys remember the old TV show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Raise your hand. You got to be like over 35, you know, over 40, right? Sorry. As a young boy, and I was a young boy, I used to watch it and think, wow, now that's the life right there. Wow. If only. Now don't get me wrong, I don't think there's anything entirely wrong with being rich or famous. God might want you to be rich or famous. Really? Billy Graham was famous. Truett Cathy was rich. Truett Cathy, founder, owner of Chick-fil-A. They were famous and they were rich. God gave that to them. I believe that, right? See, they both served the Lord their entire adult life and did big and awesome things for the kingdom of God. There's nothing entirely wrong with having a lot of money or even being famous. It's according to what you do with it, right? It's according to man's heart. Even Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "You shall remember the Lord God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to His fathers." So God has a purpose in all this if He decides to give you wealth or make you famous. However, I'm here this morning to warn you. If you are basing your entire life, if you're basing your life, i.e. your happiness, your peace of mind, your success on the things of this world, you're falling for the oldest trick in the book. It's called the lustful, prideful desires of the flesh. Adam and Eve were the first ones to fall for this evil trap, and millions have fallen for it ever since. The world, listen closely, the world will never satisfy your life desires. My friends, you can never, I've seen it. I've worked with multi-millionaires that own big businesses. I've worked with professional athletes in my counseling who, hey, I have millions of dollars. They wind up suicidal, depressed, on drugs, all that. You see, you can never get enough of the greedy money. You can never satisfy the immoral sexual pleasures. You can never buy enough fancy cars or expensive clothes and the biggest houses and biggest houses. You can never get to that point in that powerful position. You can never get there and satisfy the hole in your heart. There's a God-given hole in each human being's heart. And it can only be filled by Jesus. And it can only be satisfied by the Father. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Psalms 107:9 says, "For He satisfies the longing in my soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. See, guys, in these words, in this message, in this scripture, Jesus was declaring himself the great I am, the only path to heaven, the only true measure of truth and righteousness, and the source of both physical and spiritual life. He was staking his claim as the very God of creation, the Lord who blessed Abraham, and the Holy One who inhabits eternity. You see, he did this so the disciples would be able to go out and face the dark days and carry on the mission of declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, how do we follow him today? The same way the disciples did long ago. They heard the words of Jesus and they believed them. They took his words and they obeyed them. They confessed their sins to Jesus Christ and God. They believed that he died for their punishment of their sins and rose from the dead to give them a new life. They followed his example and his command to go and tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, when we follow him in the way, he shows us the truth. And then he gives us life. And we can be assured. We can be assured that if we follow him, we can follow him right on into heaven, right on into eternity. I'll close with this. Started out with Billy Graham, and I'm going to end with my hero. Billy Graham's last will and testament was recently made public. He left behind one last charge and invitation to anyone who has access to his public will. And this is what Mr. Graham said. I urge all who shall read this document to read and study the scriptures daily and to trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Are you sure today? If not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Come, all who will, and meet me at the altar. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time again. We love you, Holy Spirit. We just ask that you draw all men and women and children to salvation. We trust you. Lord, if there's one here this morning that's never accepted Christ, personally accepted Christ as their personal Savior, I'd ask that they will come down and talk with me. Or they can talk with me after service too. That's fine. Lord, I know that folks can get caught up in playing church or playing religion. We know that just doesn't work. So Lord, I pray if there's one here that would like to make it sure this morning, personally have a relationship with you. Maybe there's someone here they'd like to rededicate their life to the Lord. Or someone who'd like to join our church and be a part of our family. Or get baptized. Father, we just have them come down this morning, or maybe a special prayer need. Thank you, Lord. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.